it's beautiful outside. But I tell you, it's beautiful in here. The thing I like to see is people getting together, having fellowship, loving on each other, because that's the way Christ intended church to be. Amen? I have missed things like that over the last couple years and dealing with COVID. And I think a lot of us are just, we're getting scared. You know, we kind of are distancing ourselves from each other, and I didn't see that. So, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd appreciate it if you turn with me to Acts chapter 9. And we'll read a few verses there. This is a story about Saul. He gets ready to turn into Paul. Let's look at this together. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why, who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I am so glad that you are the one that is in charge of all things. I thank you for this part of history from your word that we read. It's encouraging. I am so glad that you got a hold of Saul that day and shook him up, turned him around, because a lot of us probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Paul's preaching and his teaching. But Father, I just ask that you to be with us this morning and help us to understand this scripture, and we maybe apply it to our lives. And I just pray that you'll help me to speak your word. For we pray these things in Christ's name. And amen. I want to share a little story with you. This was a long time ago. It said there was a family from a very remote area that visited a large city for the very first time. First time they'd ever been in a big town. A lot of things they weren't used to seeing. They checked into a 4-star hotel, and they stood amazed at the beauty and how impressive this great big building was. They'd never seen anything like it. And as they left the reception desk, the man's wife stopped at the restroom. And then they stopped and stared at the elevator. And they didn't have any idea what they were looking at. About that time, an elderly lady hobbled toward the elevator, went in, and the door closed. A couple minutes later, the door opened, and out came a stunningly good-looking young woman. Dad couldn't stop staring at this lady. Without turning his head, he patted his son on the arm and said, "Son, go get your mom." He was hoping for a transformation there. Oh, gosh. Without turning his head, he just thought of a lot of things. Can you imagine the first time you ever looked into an elevator, the door shut, and out comes about someone? You don't even know how the thing worked. It's just amazing about how something in your mind could change. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17, it tells us this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And that's how it should be with us as Christians. As we accept Christ into our life, we need to allow Jesus to change us, amen? Like one of the songs says, to make us, to mold us into His will and His way. And I still like to think of one of the old songs. We used to sing it, and it's in your hymn book too here. You must be born again. You remember that one? I can remember the chorus, how it goes. You must be born again. I won't sing any more than that. But it's true. It tells about what needs to happen to all of us. This morning, I share this story of a man who was majorly transformed into a new creature. And buddy, I tell you what, he needed to be. His name was Saul. He was going to soon be changed to Paul. As we look at the book of Acts, we read this. Acts chapter 9 will point out to us how he lived out this elevator story. Before Paul met Christ, he was a very different man. He was a man that was serious about serving God, but I don't know if he really had God in his heart at that time. In verse 1 here, it says, we're reading to see Paul was against Christ. He was against Christ and his teaching. He didn't want anything to do with these new way people or the Christians at that time. And in verse 2, he went to the high priest and asked for letters in the synagogues in Damascus that if he found any of these people that were following the teachings of Christ, he could arrest them. I tell you what, we need to be glad that in the society that you and I live in today, that we can't be arrested for the way that we believe in Jesus Christ. He said, hadn't got there yet. You know, I hope and pray it doesn't. But they had the power to do that. The Jewish people had the power to do that. Matter of fact, if you look at you watch at Christmas time and talk about the Pharisees and all these things, there's a whole story about Christ. The Sanhedrin, which was the bigwigs of the time there of the Jewish people, they actually had their own soldiers. They could go out, they could arrest, they could do things. Do you have any soldiers here, church here? Well, not like that, but we do represent Christ, and we do go out into the world and serve Him. Our reading says, breathing out murderous threats against followers of the way. The way here being the way of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus, it still happens today, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is He not? And that's what we need to be teaching. That's what we need to be sharing with people. And especially, and I love this time of year as we get ready to go into Thanksgiving, and then we go into Christmas. And my wife is already talking about snow. Are you women thinking about snow? Any of y'all? Oh, yeah, I see some heads shaking. Yeah? And the guys say, we don't want it. You know, it'd be nice if we just had a little skip of snow Christmas Eve, and it'd last a couple of days, and then go right to spring. That'd be all right with me. You know, in this, I encourage you to read the book of Acts when you have a chance. There's so much good stuff in it. In Acts chapter 7, it tells us that when the religious people got mad at Stephen, which was really on fire for Jesus, and he was preaching all over the different places, and they found him and they accused him of blasphemy. Of course, there were people that lied against him and told false stories. And what ended up happening to Stephen? Poor old Stephen got stoned outside of the city walls. And this was all, a lot of it, due to this person we call Saul. He was in charge of these things. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was doing the right thing. But as we look on, we'll find out that he didn't. He was determined to begin to try to destroy the church, which was called the Way at that time. He went from house to house. He dragged off men and women. He put them in prison. Then the rest of Acts, and here in chapter 9, reminds us that meanwhile, Saul was still speaking murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That was his goal. Now listen. Saul was probably much like you and I. He believed he was doing the right thing. He was determined. When you're serving Jesus Christ on a daily basis, are you determined? Have you really got things in mind? Have you got things that you know you just need to do for Christ? I hope so. This is going to be a busy time of the year for a lot of us in churches. And I just encourage you, keep serving the Lord. Be excited. Let people know that you're excited about Jesus. Later on in the book of Acts, Saul, which he'll be turning to Paul, he says, I am a Jew. Although he was born in Tarsus, he was brought up in Jerusalem. He was trained by some of the greatest teachers they had at the time. And he had a zeal for God as much like any of us could have today for Jesus Christ. But he persuaded followers of Christ's way to their death. Yeah, he was doing all that. He said he was a Jew and he was a believer in God. Now, you have to be careful with some of this. You know, there are a lot of people that we have in church, we have in our communities and stuff, they say they believe in Jesus, but so does the devil. And he trembles at the fact. You can believe, but, I mean, you can say you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but do you really have a personal relationship with him? That's where it's at. Old Saul had, they used the word zealous. He was zealously strong for God. But he didn't really know God. He didn't really have a personal relationship with God. The big problem, though, for a lot of people these days, too, is there are people, and you may work with some of them, you may be related to some of them, I don't know, but there are people that say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe what he did, or whatever, but they've never asked Jesus Christ into their heart. And that's the thing we need to help them understand. That's something we need to do. As these wonderful kids come up here, and they learn, you have these little short sermon form and everything. Then we take them downstairs. The biggest and the most important thing that we can do for them is to tell them about Jesus, isn't it? To tell them how they need to accept Jesus into their heart. And if you're here this morning and if you haven't done that, what are you waiting for? It's the most important thing that we can ever do in our life. One of my favorite scriptures is this, John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes into the Father except through me. Amen? Oh, that's good stuff. That preaches anywhere you want to go. Yeah? That's stuff we need to share with people. It's unfortunate there are a lot of religious people who mean well and they gone to church for years and years, but they're only fooling themselves because they don't know God. They don't know His Son, Jesus Christ. They just think they do. They just think everything's fine. You know, we can come to church, we can be on boards, we can be on committees, we can serve communion, we can do all these different things, but if we don't know Jesus Christ, it means nothing. Christ is still the answer for all of us. Amen? In Matthew 23 and verse 24, it says this, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed, self-indulgence. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking people like Saul. They were more interested in telling people how they should live, but they weren't paying attention to the way they were living. That's important. In Matthew 23:28, it says this, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's talking about the person that's going to church, but they're not saved. That's talking about the person that wants to just control things. And we need to let Jesus come into our hearts, into our lives, and we need to let Him control us. And that takes a lot sometimes. Saul was met by Christ. And I tell you what, it wasn't the nicest encounter that you ever want to read about. Saul is going down the road and he's got two guys with him, and all of a sudden the Lord appears, and what does he do? Bam! And the big old bright light. Saul is blinded and he's knocked down to the ground. I tell you what, have you ever been knocked down? You know, either intentionally or unintentionally. Sometimes it's kind of rough and you hit the ground and you make a noise and it's hard. I don't know about you all, but getting harder for me to get back up from the ground. But sometimes I think the good Lord has to go to extreme measures to get our attention. Think about that. Sometimes we are so busy with our own agendas that we're not spending enough time. We're not even trying to listen to God sometimes, just like Saul. Saul had his own agenda. He had his own beliefs. Oh, he'd been taught by some really nice teachers and all this stuff, really intelligent. But he wasn't paying attention to what God wanted. Brothers and sisters, I tell you this, we need to be paying attention to what God wants from us, how He wants us to live our lives. It's not all about us, is it? It's about Jesus and what He wants. When He calls us to do something, we need to be paying attention. I hope I don't hear that this may be one of the last times I get to preach at this church for a good while, but I hope I don't hear down the road here that so-and-so got knocked on their head, got knocked down on the ground because they weren't paying attention to Jesus and He had to knock them down. Boy, I hope we don't get that stubborn. Are there any stubborn Baptists? Don't raise your hand. I tell you, sometimes what the Lord has to do to get our attention. Jesus spoke to Saul, and He told him he needed to go back into Damascus to meet a certain person. God used a dramatic way to get Saul's attention. You see, Saul couldn't hear God speaking to him when he read the scriptures, or he didn't even want to hear Him. Saul couldn't hear God speak to him while he was in church every week. And he couldn't hear God because he didn't know how to listen to God. He was more interested in just doing things Saul's way. That's not the way to be. We should not ever be that way, trying to just always get our way done. And then if we have time, man, we might go to church, might listen to what preacher sharing out of God's Word. Guys, we need to be more serious about this. Very similar today, when God tries to speak to sinners and Christians to let them know what's wrong and let them know what is right, what He wants them to do. Have you ever seen old pictures of people that had a hard time hearing and they had one of them old funnel-like things sticking out here and they go, "Hey, what did you say?" Yeah. Maybe we need to hand them things out. We've got to get a bunch of those, hand them out to everybody so we can listen to God better. I didn't hear an amen on that one. We need to learn to take time and listen to our Savior. You know, when we're praying, when you have your daily time when you're reading God's Word and you're spending time in prayer, do you just say amen and then you go on your own way? Or do you ever just stop and listen? Maybe what God is trying to say something to you? I think we need to spend a little more time trying to listen. God was wanting Saul to hear. And Saul was so stubborn, God had to knock him down. What will it take to snap us in our churches today? Not just this church, but all these churches around here that are serving Jesus Christ. What's it going to take for us to snap back into reality? Saul had to be blinded and knocked down so he could understand the truth. Saul was blinded by the light. And the men traveling with him, they couldn't see anybody, but they could hear what was going on. Saul was blinded, but sooner or later, as he went back into Damascus, as he met this man called Ananias, Ananias was told he was to go talk to Saul. But what was the reasons, some of the reasons why Christ blinded Saul for just a little bit? He was blinded because he wasn't seeing the truth. He was blinded to let him know he really wasn't seeing God. He wasn't even paying attention to God. He was blinded because he wasn't seeing the way to God through Jesus Christ. And he was blinded because he wasn't seeing the point that God loves all people. And he's not in the business of dragging people off to prison. Gee whiz. And there are folks today that are spiritually blind who attack those that are in the church and are trying to do God's Word. There are people that are trying to take over. We need to know what the Word of God says in serving Him. We need to know how He talks about His love and His watch care over His people and how we need to be loving people too. But Saul was never bothering to ask God what he had in mind. He had his own thing going on. So he went to see Ananias. Now, Ananias, it's kind of a cool story about this because Ananias had heard about Saul. He knew that this guy was going around and he was arresting people. He was taking people to prison. He had killed Stephen. And Ananias, when the good Lord was talking to Ananias, Ananias was a little skeptical. He said, well, I don't know. This guy's done a lot of bad things. But finally, Ananias said, okay, Lord, if you want me to go and meet this guy named Saul, I will go. Because you asked me to, I will go. This brings a point to mind. It's a time of year in our churches when we take new offices or we continue on in the office that we already have. There's a lot of things that God asks us to do in His church. And we need to be obedient like Ananias was here in this church. And when Jesus asks us to serve, when Jesus asks us to go and visit some people down the road, or in the hospital, or wherever it may be, we need to be willing to say, yes, Lord, send me, I'll go. But sometimes, like I said here a little bit ago, sometimes we have our own agenda. Well, you know, Lord, that's just not going to be quite convenient for me today. You know, I got to go down and I got to go check out some equipment down there at Tractor Supply. We got to do this. I got to run the kids here. You know what? I have found out in this life that sometimes if you don't go and talk to whoever the good Lord's asking you to go see, sometimes these people pass away before we get a chance to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And that's sad. We need to be putting the Lord's agenda first in our lives. Amen? Jesus knows a lot more. He knows what is important in life. Did you hear that? Jesus knows what's important in your life, and maybe in the life of someone that he wants you to go visit. I don't know if I ever told you the story about when Nancy and I lived down in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. We were at the parsonage one day, and these three guys show up at our house. And one of the guys, I knew him real well. I didn't know the other two guys. And they came to him and they said, "Preacher," said, "we need you to go over to over by Roncefort with us," which was a half-hour drive. "We need you to go over and see this man. He's got cancer, and he's afraid he's going to die and not have Jesus. So we need to go talk to him." So, hey, I got in the car. We went over there. We got to the man's house, introduced to his wife and this gentleman. And I sat down on the couch, and I looked around, and by golly, those three that came with me, they were gone. You know, and I thought, well, okay, Lord, you sent me here for a reason. So I ended up asking, we got talking. I got talking with this gentleman and his wife, and she had already known Jesus. He did not. And I asked him, I said, "Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in God?" "Yes, I do." And I said, do you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life?" And buddy, he was ready. That's the cool thing. When Jesus asks us to go, he knows things are already set up. They're all ready for you, okay? If we were in we were playing football for Christ, he'd say, "Okay, I've got the right play, and we're going to score on this play." Because a man asked Jesus Christ into his life. I tell you what, I don't know how you all feel. If you've ever had the opportunity to help someone come to know Christ, but I tell you what, when I left that house that day, I was walking my foot off the ground. Because I felt good for that guy, because I knew that he'd accepted Christ and that he was going to go to heaven one of these days. That is the thing you want to have. We need to have compassion for the people in our communities. Amen? So that we know, so God will give us that compassion, that love. We'll be concerned about them, and we'll go see them. We'll help them. But more importantly, God will help them. They don't always need a light, a bright light. They don't always need knocked down or anything like that. But the power of Jesus is wonderful. The power of the Holy Spirit, and when we are obedient to him and we do what he's wanting us to do, it is amazing the things that we can do. He can change us. As we accept Christ and we become a new creature, as the Bible is talking about here, he empowers us from day to day when we need that power to go talk to people. It's amazing to me how sometimes I can go, or I can be in the pulpit, or I can be witnessing to somebody, and how I can recall Scripture. That's the power of God to help me. Because I tell you what, they talked about the dinosaurs having small brains. Well, I think I got a dinosaur brain sometimes. But God enables me. God gives me the power, amen, to be able to talk to people, to witness to people, and to love people for Jesus Christ. Christ made Saul a new creature that day. When he spoke to Ananias, and Ananias prayed with him, and then he took him and he baptized him. That day, they say, the scripture says, that Paul got saved. He was changed. In the twinkling of an eye, he was changed. He was a new man. He was a new creature. These things can happen, even in this day you and I live in. The same Jesus that changed Saul into Paul can do the same for any of us. Amen? The same Jesus that pulls men out of the gutter of whatever it may be. It could be alcoholism, it could be drugs, it could be gambling, it could be anything. He can pull that person out of that gutter and change their lives for the better. There's no problem with the power of Jesus and what he can do. He's the one, through the Holy Spirit and through his word, that gets our attention. Are we paying attention today? Are we being like Saul? Are we not paying any attention? We're just doing our own thing. I encourage you, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today, God can help you pay attention to the important thing that he needs you to do. Are you listening? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Because I found this out. When we pay attention to Christ and we're obedient to him, we're blessed. I don't know about you, but I like being blessed. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this story here, this piece of history about Saul turning into Paul. I thank you for interceding and knocking him down. I thank you, Father, that you've got his attention. You helped him write a lot of the New Testament. Father, I just pray that you will help us. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to listen to you. Help us to take time to do what you ask us to do. Send us out into the world, Lord, that we may be able to bring back people for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time, and I just pray that you will touch each and everyone's heart, Father, as we get ready to have an invitation time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.